The problem with the pasuk is that there are three statements that apparently are telling exactly the same thing. Bechukosai teilechu literally means walking within the law, which sounds like it's saying keeping the laws. Vesmitosai tishmeru, again it's keeping the laws. Vasisem osom, doing them is also keeping them. So Rashi learns. So Rashi learns like this. Im bechukosai teilechu, says Rashi, yochol ze kiyum mitzvos. We might have thought that the simple pshat in bechukosai teilechu means keeping the chukim. So he says no, not possible. Why? Keshuoimer b'tzmisosai tishmorai kiyum mitzvos. Already the rest of the pasuk already talks about guarding the mitzvos. Omani mekayim bechukosai teilechu. So Rashi says it to you ameilim betorah. It doesn't mean the keeping of the mitzvahs, but it's amelus b'torah. There's a difficulty. Why should amelus b'torah be expressed in the Torah beloshen walking within the chok, walking within the chukim? What is the connection between amelus b'torah and bechukosai teilechu? This problem. The other problem is, why does Rashi call it amelus b'torah instead of calling it Limud HaTorah? Sure, right? Lomdei Torah. What? How is the Amelus BeTorah different than Limud HaTorah? So we're like this. The Amik Dobor learns like this. We've mentioned already in the past, a few times I think, that the idea of chok, which is the rule, a rule, is related to the idea of chukim, the drochim shatoron nidreshes bohem, the mido shatoron nidreshes bohem, which means like this. The same way that you have rules for many other things, there are rules, there is a methodology of learning. Chukosai, the chok, teilechu, to walk within the chok, according to the Amik Dobor, means to go through life with a constant awareness of the methodology of learning. The mido shatoro nidreshes bohem, it says. Bichukosai teilechu. Now, but there is another meaning, says the Amik Dobor. You know what else is called chukim? Chukim is also called the laws that the Torah gives that have no rational explanation. Like the Gemara says, Pora Dumo is a chok. Right? Zos chukas a Torah. This is the chok. That's Pora Dumo. Says the Gemara, why is Pora Dumo a chok? Because of the difficulty in understanding it. But there is something else that's called a chok. And these are the laws of nature. I'll call chok. Chukoi shomayim v'oretz. The chok of the world. The chukoi shomayim v'oretz. The rules of the world. The laws of nature. So, the Amik Dobor says like this. It's very odd. The way the Torah expresses this idea that if you do mitzvahs, I mean, what the Torah really is telling you here is, if you do the right thing, then it will rain at the right time. Every other place the Torah tells you that. The Torah plays no games with you. The Torah tells you, Ushmar temes kol mitzvos Hashem, keep it, do it, and if you don't keep it, bad things will happen to you. Here the Torah seems to be playing a game with you. The Torah doesn't tell you, do it. The Torah is telling you like this. If you do it, then it will rain at the right time. If you won't do it, it won't. Now, you choose. You do whatever you want, sort of.
It's a conditional statement.
It's conditional. It's conditional. If you do it, then you're okay. And if not, not. It's as if the Torah takes no side, so to speak. Right? Everywhere else, the Torah takes clear-cut sides. Sides, right? Tells you, Hineinu satei lefonecho esatoi vesara, ubocharto b'chaim. Right? Meaning, the Torah always openly takes sides. Right. I mean, obviously the Torah here is also taking sides. If it tells you, if you do the right thing, it will rain at the right time, you see that the Torah is taking sides. But why does the Torah cover up the taking sides, sort of? What is the idea behind this? Says the Amik Dovor like this. If I would try to analyze which way, how can we compare the idea of God telling a Jew to keep mitzvahs? Is that the idea of the king who tells somebody that his friend, his very good friend, please do, you know, don't steal, because if you steal, I'll have to put you in jail. I mean, the king has the power, yes, to put him in jail or not to put him in jail. So he tells him, you should know, listen, I'm a king, right? And as a king, I'll punish you, right? But please don't steal, right? Or is it more like a doctor who says to his patient, listen, don't eat this and this and this because it will be very harmful to you. Now, the king tells him don't do it, and the doctor tells him don't do it. But those are two different things. Because the doctor, it's not in his power that eating, fried things, right, will do him harm. It's not up to the doctor. The doctor is only advising him that is the laws of nature. Those are the laws of nature. If you eat such and such, if you drink too much, if you smoke too much, you'll get sick. But you can't blame me. Right? You hear that? That's what it says. How do we say, to what would we compare God telling the Jews, keep the mitzvahs? So on the surface, you would have said, it's much closer to the idea of a king telling his subject, don't steal, or don't do this, don't do that, which means it's within his power, right? Says the Amek Dovor, this is not the way God created the world. God created the world in such a way that he would rather not intervene. That is the will of God, that things should work by following a certain rule and not to have to intervene every single time. That is God's will. This is why he created laws of nature. What did he need laws of nature for? Every single situation should be judged according to the circumstances. No, God created the laws of nature. Sometimes God intervenes in order to change things, but it's only sometimes. As a rule, there are laws of nature. Now, what about the reward for keeping mitzvahs and punishment for transgressing an avera? Says the Amek Dovor, there are laws of nature concerning mitzvahs too. This means the following. The fact that an avera harms you is not a new decision of God every single time. Oh, if you do an avera, God gets angry. No, this is just an expression. God created a law of nature that averos harm and mitzvahs do good. Right? So God is only the doctor who tells you, listen, do me a favor. Just don't do such and such. All right? I love you. You are my people. Please don't do averos. Meaning, and you compare it to a doctor who tells him you should know it's the rule of nature. It's not that I'm making a decision every single time. I let things follow the laws of nature. This is what's hidden according to Amek Dovor, to this Imbechukoisai Teleho. I want to tell you the facts of life. The facts of life is Imbechukoisai Teleho, you do mitzvos, good things will happen to you without my intervention. They'll happen by themselves. It's the law of nature that schar mitzvah, mitzvah, schar avera, avera. Bad things happen from averas, good things happen to mitzvos. So he says, this is why the choice is called Bechukosai Teilechu. The choice is called Bechukosai, Chok. The same way that the law of nature is called Chok, right? The relationship of God to mitzvahs is also called Chok. That's what it says. And this is why it tells you, listen, without taking sides, let me tell you the facts. This is why in this particular case, we don't have a direct taking sides of Hashem. Because that would be more like a judge. The Torah wants to show you that God is more like a doctor who warns you against what's harmful to you.
So why do it here and you could do it in the other places where it took some?
You see, in this particular case, this is the first time, right, that it's telling you clear God. Reading Sefer Dvorim, more than anywhere else, you have the constant development of this idea that doing mitzvahs will bring good, not doing mitzvahs will bring evil. Before Sefer Dvorim, you have situations, you have hints here and there, but this is the first time that it's developed before Sefer Dvorim. Right? If you go through the whole Sefer Vayikra, you have, you know, do mitzvahs, do this and that, but the clear-cut relationship between mitzvahs and success, right, and averas and failure, right, here it's the first time where it's developed, right? This is the first time, this is where it's being established, this is the source for everything. Right? So that's why the Amid Dover says, this is why when we establish this idea, Hashem wanted to make sure that you'll understand that it's not a new decision every time it happens. It's something that God gave to the nature of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs bring success. Okay? This is what the Amid Dover sees in this style of the Torah, in Bechuko Saitelechu. Now, the Sfas Emes is also bothered by the im, by the if. Why start with an if? When it could start with a command. Why start with an if? So the Sfas Emes connects that with a pshat that he says in the Yalkut. The Yalkut that brings down the Medrash starts this Parshas Bechukosai with the following statement. It's a posuk in Tehillim that David HaMelech says like this: Choshavti darki, which means I thought about my ways, darki, right? Ve'oshivo ragli el edvoisecho. I thought about my ways, and my feet follow your command. Says the Midrash. Omar David lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. This is the meaning of this posuk. Ribbono shel Olam. Bechol yom v'yom, every single day, hoisi mechashev. I think, mechashev. Mechashev means to consider. Lachshov, lechashev. Ve'omer, lemokim ploini ani loich. And then I say, well, I'm going this way. Ve'hoyu ragli mevios osi lebote knesios. And I always end up in the Beis HaKnesses or Beis HaMedrash. Right? So, this is what the Medrash says, is similar to Im Bechukosai Teilechu. So, let's say, what is the connection, right, Im Bechukosai Teilechu, and what's the real meaning of David HaMelech's statement? I always thought where I should walk, and I always ended up going to Shul. What does the statement mean? So the Sfas Emes that it means like this. Why would a person think? Why would a person think choshav? Choshavti means to consider, lachshov. Should I do it or shouldn't I do it? If it's a mitzvah, I'll do it. If it's an avera, I won't do it. So he says the Sfas Emes, obviously we are talking about a situation that is not clear cut. Right? It's not a situation, should I steal or shouldn't I steal? Should I kill or shouldn't I kill? Right? It's a situation that could be right or could be wrong. The same action could be a mitzvah and could be an avera. It all depends on the circumstances. Right. Like the simple example is, well, I'm supposed to make kiddush. Surely, if it's Shabbos, if I make kiddush on Thursday night, I'll be transgressing using God's name in vain. Just a very simple level. In a more subtle situation, for instance, when a father is supposed to be very strict with his son, right? Or he could be nice to his son, or a judge, right? A judge has to decide, should I send the thief to jail or not? So this judge is a very kind person, so he decides, I'm going to put him in jail and all his family should suffer, I'm going to let him go home, I'll forgive him, right? And next day, the thief says, oh, so the judge is very weak. So he takes an action of kindness, and he sees it as an act of weakness, and therefore he'll become even a worse thief. So, on the surface, you would think, this judge, did he do an act of kindness? On the surface, yes, right? But the Gemara calls it, kol mi shemischase dimazorim, if a person is kind, where he should be strict, so far lis'achzer imachasolim. He'll be strict where he's supposed to be kind. In other words, it's crucial in mitzvos the timing and the circumstances. Meaning the same act that could be right under certain circumstances, many times are wrong under other circumstances. Okay? Now, therefore, that gives us a new obligation. Not only do I have to think, is it a mitzvah or not? But I have to think, is it the right time or not? Now, this is why, it's the Sfasemes, the Torah starts with Im bechukosai teilechu. A person has to constantly think, not only is it a mitzvah, but is it a mitzvah that I should do now or not? That's why the Torah starts with Im. If, which I always have to think the if. And if not, right. This is why, what is the reward if you make the right decision? I'll give rain at the right time. Now, what is rain? Rain is the symbol of blessing, right? But sometimes, rain, that is blessing, can be the biggest curse, right? Sometimes, if it rains before it's supposed to start raining, I just seeded the ground, and all of a sudden it rains too much, it drowns out all the seeds and nothing grows. So the same rain becomes a curse, right? Or some people are going from one city to another. So it may be a blessing to some, but it's a curse to others. Right? Therefore, there is a right time to rain too. You see, even something that's so clear-cut a blessing like rain, right, has to be be'itom. That's why it says, Venosati gishmeichen in posuk dalet be'itom. How does that fit with the mitzvah? There has to be a connection between the mitzvah and the reward, a parallel. Right? Why doesn't it say Venosati gishmeichem? Why be'itom? Says the Sfasem is because we must be talking about a situation where the question was, of course it's a mitzvah, but is it the right time? Maybe it's not a mitzvah that I should do now. Maybe I should do it tomorrow. Maybe I should do it under different circumstances. So therefore, if you choose the right timing, then your reward is that the brocha, the rain, will also come at the right time. What about if you do a mitzvah at the wrong time? Then it will rain, but at the wrong time, right? And Rashi says, what is the ideal time for rain? Only Friday evenings, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's at home. That's what Rashi says, according to one version. Friday evenings. In other words, it has to be not only a blessing, but it has to be a blessing at the right time. Because we are talking about a mitzvah, that the timing is crucial. That's how the Sfasemes said. So he says, that is the pshat, says the Sfasemes, in the posuk, in the midrash. Choshavti drochi, which means, before I take a path, I always have to think. What do I think? Is it the right time? So it says, Voshivo ragli de eledvoisecho. Once I choose the right thing, right, then I realize that good things happen to me. Like going to the Beis HaMedrash. Going to the Beis HaMedrash is just a symbol of learning, of knowing what to decide. That's the Beis HaMedrash and Beis HaKnesset. That's the Im Bechukoi side. Ameilu shel Torah, which means the toiling in Torah, like Rashi learns, toiling in Torah, that gives you the insight of the timing. It says like this. Really, the three expressions means three different things. Bechukosai teleichu means the toiling in the methodology of learning. What is mitzvosai tishmeru? So, it mentioned in many places, whenever it says guarding, it means mishneh. Tishmeru ze amishneh. Why the mishneh? What does the mishneh have to do with anything? So, it says like this. You know that when the Rambam says how a person has to divide his day, he says if a person has 9 hours to learn, he should learn 3 hours Torah Shebiksav, right? 3 hours Mishneh, Torah Shebalpe Mishneh. Mishneh really means Halokhe, what we call Halokhe. That was what the Rambam calls me, what the Gemara calls Mishneh, we call Halokhe. Now it's knowing what to do. And 3 hours Gemara. Gimore means no learning the methodology of Torah. The methodology of Torah. So Im bechukosai teleichu, we said means the methodology of Torah. Es mitzvosai tishmoru, that means Mishneh. Why? Why is the Mishneh the guard? What is a guard? Someone who doesn't let you transgress, right? Somebody guards the palace. Why? You shouldn't go in when you are not supposed to. What is the best guard against transgression? Knowing what to do, knowing halacha. If you don't know halacha, you have no guards. The real guards are the Mishneh. This is why it's mitzvosai tishmeru means Mishneh. And the Siporno here on the spot says it as a pshat. Es mitzvot zay tishmoru, learn Mishneh. Okay? So really the Torah, what the Torah is telling is like this. In bechoy koy zay telecho, if you learn Gemara, ves mitzvot zay tishmoru, and you learn Mishneh. Right? You have to guard against the transgression. So, comes out according to this, that what the Torah is telling you, when you put all this pshatim together, is that it's not enough to do mitzvahs, right? You have to be involved in the halacha, because doing mitzvahs is not so easy. Because you have to know, number one, what are the mitzvahs? You need the guard. And even when you know what the mitzvahs are, you learn the Shulchan Aruch. So you know the Shulchan Aruch. But you have to know when to apply it in the Hukosai, the timing, that the rain should be given at the right time. So if so, you need a complete involvement in learning. Now, there is the another added idea that's from the Meshech Chochmo. We'll skip a little bit, we'll come back to the other psukim. The Meshech Chochmo comments on Posuk Vov. It says like this, V'nosati sholoim boretz, we'll come back to that statement. Ushchaftem ve'im acharit, v'hishbati chayo ro'o min ho'oretz. And I'll get rid of all the wild animals from the land. Right? If you keep all the mitzvahs, right? I'll get rid of all the wild animals from the land. Says it's a Midrash Rabbo. Says machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. What does it mean that God will get rid of the animals? Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, what does it mean that he'll get rid of the animals? Says Rabbi Yehuda, he'll get rid of it completely. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, no, it doesn't mean that he'll get rid of them completely. He'll make sure that they won't bother you. You hear Machlokes? Says the Meshech Chochmah, it's so odd that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai should be arguing whether the animals will be around but they won't bother you, or they won't be around altogether. What meaning does such a Machlokes have? Right. So, the Meshech Chochmah learns Pshat like this. The Gemara in Broches, the Flamed Hay, has a Machlokes, and it's really between Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Shmuel. The Machlokes is like this. Lamed Hay, Omed Bet. It says in the Torah, it says in Yoshua, I mean, Lo Yomush Sefer HaTorah Haze Mipicho. Lo Yomush. In other words, learning, you have to constantly learn. Lo Yomush. Right? This fits with a statement in Bechukosai Telehu, to be completely involved in learning. Yochol Dvorim Kiksovon, we might think that you have to do it literally, in our learn and do nothing else. Talmud Lomar Ve'osafto Degonecho. The Torah says you should gather your crops, your produce. Haneg Bohem Mine Derecheret. You have to follow the laws of nature. In other words, you have to eat, so you have to plow and you have to harvest. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. These are the words of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, no, it's impossible, because Efshar Odom Choresh B'Shas Harisho. If a person will be busy with his fields all the time, he'll plow when he has to plow, V'Zoreya B'Shas Rio, V'Kotzer B'Shas Ksiro, etc., 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 Torah Mateo Leo, when are you going to learn Torah? Elo Bizman Sheisroel Osi Retzono Shel Mokoim. If you do what you are supposed to do, melachto nasis alidei acherim, you won't have to plow, you won't have to harvest, you won't have to do anything. That's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's pshat. Shenemar, he brings a pasuk that says that in a perfect, if Jews are in a state of perfection, they won't have to bother working at all. Ask Tosfos. or Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai then says that when Jews do what they are supposed to do, they don't have to do any work. Asks Tosfos, Ve'im Tomar. Ask Tosfos. According to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, it says, when will Jews have to work? If they don't fulfill the commandments of Hashem, if they don't do what they are supposed to do. But that doesn't fit with the Pasuk in Kriyashma. The Pasuk in Kriyashma says, V'yoyim Shomoa Tishmu, which means if you do listen to my commandments, V'yosavto Degonecho, which means that listening to my commandments still allows you to work. That is a contradiction to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who says that it's not true, that you don't have to work if you do everything that you are supposed to do. The Pasuk, the second portion of Kriyat Shema, contradicts Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That's Tosfos' question. Answers Tosfos. V'yesh lomar, demayre vaday she'osim retzono. Obviously, the Pasuk in Kriya Shema is talking when they do the will of God. It says, V'yom Shomaya Tishmu. Avol ein osin retzono kolkach. De einom tzadikim gemurim. You hear? V'yom Shomaya Tishmu means, if you listen to my commandments, but you are not such a tzadik gomur. So what are we talking about? You do everything that's right, but you are not a tzadik. I mean, what else is being a tzadik? Right? Hear the question, right? What else is being a tzaddik? Rashi Toso says, yes, the second portion of Kriyat Shema is talking about a tzaddik, but not a tzaddik gomur, because he's not so good, because he's working. But there's a point why he's working, because he has to work. If Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai holds that if you do everything that God tells you to do, you don't have to work, so why does he have to go to work? Says the Meshech Chochmo, if you pay attention to the difference between the first portion of the Parsha of Krishna to the second portion of the Parsha of Krishna, right? You'll find a few differences. A few differences, all of them very, very important. One of them is that when the first portion of Krishna describes the love of God, it tells you the three levels. Bechol levovcho, right? Bechol nafshecho, uvechol meodecho. The second portion of Krishna, right, describes the love of God bechol levavchem or bechol nafshchem. What's missing? Meodechem. Why? Why is meodechem missing? Says the Meshech Chochmo. You know what the word meod means? Very. You know, it's with very means with your greatest interest. Right. Like the Gemara says, a person may be interested in his money, so then Meodecho means money. Meodecho changes its meaning depending on what's the most important thing in your life. If you love God with the most important things in your life, meaning you spend most of your time and your greatest interest in serving God, your interest is, your head is completely involved in serving God. Since the second portion of the Kriya Shema is not talking about Meodechem, so what are we talking about? A Jew who keeps all the mitzvahs, but his mind is in the business. You hear? So what is he lacking? The meodechem, meodecho. This is what Tosos means by tzadik she'eino gomor. But if his mind would be completely in Torah, he really wouldn't have to work. You hear Tosos, how the Meshech Chochmo learns pshat in Tosos? Okay? Clear? Comes out according to this, that according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, if a Jew reaches a level that his mind is completely involved in learning, or Jews reach a level that their minds are completely involved in learning, then that can affect the Olam HaTeva. It can actually affect the laws of nature. That all of a sudden, the laws of nature will be very generous to the Jews. It will start raining at the right time, And they'll have all the food in the world, and people will come and give them food, and then they won't have to work. Meaning, it will break them away from Derech HaTeva. Okay? Now, remember our original question. Why would Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai say that when God says that I will get rid of the wild animals, Says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, no, it doesn't mean that he actually gets rid of the animals. It means the animals won't bother us. Why? Because according to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, we are talking about a person who elevates himself to a level, right, that he's not affected by the normal accepted rules of nature. The rule of nature is wild animals attack. Sure, the rules of nature are, if you don't work, you have no food. But a person, according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, can elevate himself to a point that the normal rules of nature don't affect him. So according to him, animals, right, get rid of the animals in order to be consistent with his point of view. It's not that he does something to the animals. He does something to the person. He elevates the person to a point that he's not bothered by animals. This is why Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is consistent with his position, that Jews can elevate themselves above the normal accepted laws of nature. Okay? This is why Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was learning specifically that when it says, "V'hishbati chayo ro'o min ha'oretz," he doesn't learn it literally, that I'll get rid of the animals. No, the animals won't bother you. The same way that the Gentiles will bring you food, the animals won't bother you because all the normal accepted laws of nature won't apply. So, says like this. Since this is the idea of lemailo min ha'teva, how do we reach that level of lemailo min ha'teva? Only through a complete involvement in Torah, right? This is why Rashi doesn't say in bechukoi saiteilechu is limud ha'Torah. What is the word that Rashi uses? Amelus betorah. And we said, what is the difference between amelus betorah or limud ha'Torah? Limud ha'Torah is just learning. Learning, right? You have a few hours a day, you learn. Amelus betorah means a complete involvement. That your head has just one thing in mind, Torah, nothing else. Right? Since we see, according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that a Jew who reaches such a level actually rises above the Derech HaTeva, right? This is why we learn Pshat in the Torah that way. In Bechukos Aitelehu, if you rise above Derech HaTeva and your mind is completely above the normal things that people think about, then Venosati Venosno Orechivulo Vetasodi Tempirio. But you won't have to work to get it, because the Gentiles will bring you the food. And then Vishbati Chayomino Orech, you won't have to bother kicking out the animals. The animals won't bother you at all. So this is why it says in Bechuko Saite Lehu, which means like this. If you go into my chok, that is the Limud HaTorah with complete involvement, that will break the chok of nature, because you know nature is also called a chok. Chukoi Shomayim Vo'oretz are called the chok of nature, the rules of nature. The Jews have a capacity, right, if they completely involve themselves in learning, to rise above the laws of nature. This is why the word Bechukosai is used. Now, in the second pasuk, it says, Venosati Gishmeichem Beitom. Again, Yalkut Shimoni. Gishmeichem, your reign. But not for people outside of Eretz Yisrael, which means you will have a very successful crop, but the Gentiles won't have a very successful crop. Next, in Posuk Vov, Venosati Shalom Bo'oretz, and I'll give shalom, peace in the land, in Eretz Yisrael. Ushchavtem ve'macharit, so you won't have to be afraid of your enemies. Right? And we spoke about Vishbati Chayorom in Oretz. Vecherev lo sa'avor be'artzchem, and no sword will pass through your land. Says Rashi, quoting the Chazal. I mean, we just finished saying there will be peace. Of course, if there is peace, there are no swords. Says Rashi, no. We are not talking about a situation when Gentiles attack the Jews. We are talking about a situation when a Gentile is attacking a Gentile. Egypt wants to attack Babylonia. So they use Israel as a path through which to pass their sword. Right? So it's also no good, because we lose our neutrality. Right? So Hashem gives you a blessing that when the Gentiles will fight, you won't even be involved. Okay? So that's the brocha. V'cherev lo sa'avor be'artzachem. The brocha is, even the swords that are not directed towards you will also not pass through your land. That's what Rashi says. Elo afilu lavor derech artzchem min medino le medino, to foreign lands. They won't use you as their battleground or even the path through which to go to war. You'll be completely separated from the rest of the nations. The problem here is the following. On the surface, we are talking about Yemos HaMashiach, right? When the Jews fulfill all the mitzvahs and they're completely involved in Torah. I mean, what else describes the Messianic era but that, right? Right, and that perfect world, and you will eat and you will have plenty and you won't worry about anything. I mean, we are describing apparently a messianic state, but that contradicts the idea that the geula is a universal geula. If you go through the Nevim, Zechariah, Yeshayo, they all speak about that the goyim will be redeemed, meaning there will be shalom bo'olam, not bo'oretz, not only in Eretz Yisrael, right? Meaning Yemos HaMashiach is a universal redemption. It's not only a Jewish redemption, a universal redemption, right? So why all of a sudden the Torah talks about the cherev lo savor be'artzchem? You won't be involved in wars. What about the other people? Oh, they'll fight. They'll kill each other, but you won't be involved. But if it's really Yemos HaMashiach, right? So that state that you reached should overflow and reach everybody else, right? The same thing is with Venosati Gishmeichem, that the Yalkut says, by you it will rain, but by everybody else there'll be droughts and they'll have all kinds of troubles. Why? If we are talking about the state of Yemos HaMashiach, there's a state that Bechol HaOilom, that all they will do, they'll have a chance to serve Hashem, and they won't have to bother with anything else. So what are we talking here? A local redemption? Only a Jewish redemption? Where do we find such a concept that it will only be a Jewish redemption and not a universal redemption? So this is also from the Amik Dover. The Amik Dover says this pshat in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Right? Up to Pasuk Yud Aleph, it's all utopian, ideal. If you go through it, right, you'll beat your enemies and you'll have plenty of food and I will be with you. And all of a sudden, look at the statement. Veloy sig'al nafshi eschem. And I won't be disgusted with you. Wait a minute. I mean, if you do something wrong and I tell you I won't be disgusted with you, loy sig'al nafshi eschem, then I can understand. But if you are perfect, right, I say, you know what? You are a very honest citizen. You did everything right. So, what? So, therefore, I won't give you the death penalty. I mean, who talks about death penalty? Such an honest person. There must be something wrong that if the Torah says veloy sigal nafshi eschem, meaning there is to be a havi amine that God could be disgusted with you. So what are we talking about? You hear the problem? Meaning we are talking about that perfect world. How can the Torah conclude veloy sigal nafshi eschem? Right? This is the question of the Amik Dover. I mean, if you read through the psukim, really, it's shocking. Such a perfect venosati shalom. ורדפו מכם חמישון מאו, פוניסי לכם לפרסי אסכם, ואכלתם יושן נוישון, ונוסעתי משכוני בסויכו, ולא סיגל נפשי אסכם, I won't get rid of you. Why should we think that they will? Says the Amik Dover, we are not talking about that utopian state at all. We are talking about an Eretz Israel that has a majority of Jews that fulfill Posuk number 3, and a minority that doesn't. Here? So many times Hashem blames the majority for the sins of the minority, right? So therefore there could be a havi amineh that God will be angry at the good ones because there is a minority which isn't good. This is why the Torah has to tell you, "Velo sigal nafshi eschem." You hear the Amik Dover say so? Okay. Comes out that we are talking about a very specific period, as period that in Eretz Yisrael there will be great tzaddikim, but there will always also be Rishonim, right? Now, if Klal Yisrael is in such a state, that means that the tzaddikim are missing one ingredient.
Meaning?
They are perfect in everything else except in one thing, the capacity to influence, right? You see that the minority is still Russia, Rishonim. Yeah. When Klal Yisrael is in such a state, then the Geula cannot come about. Because in order for the Geula to come about, it has to be a Geula that comes to Klal Yisrael and it overflows to everybody else. If Klal Yisrael is in a matzah that they can't influence, the good ones can't influence the minority which are bad, such a Klal Yisrael can't bring Mashiach yet. In such a situation, there will be a local, temporary Geula, similar to the period of Shlomo HaMelech. We find such a matzah, very similar to such a matzah by Shlomo HaMelech. In Shlomo HaMelech, in his period, there was success, there was peace. Why didn't Mashiach come? He came so close to bringing Mashiach. As a matter of fact, that's why he was called Shlomo, because Loshen Shleimus. He reached a Loshen Shleimus with Hashem, because they were also Rishoyim. Even though there were many tzaddikim, but they were also Rishoyim. They weren't able to overcome the Rishoyim amongst them. This is why Mashiach couldn't come at that period. This is the period that the Torah is describing right now. It's a good period, but it has its shortcomings. This is why the Torah has to tell you, even though it has its shortcomings, Lo sigal nafshi eschem. So now it makes sense. So now each nation is judged separately. Klal Yisrael, v'nosati gishmeichem, I'll give rain to you, but not to the rest. Peace, by you there will be peace, but not by everybody else. And it answers another question. If you take a look in Posuk Dalet and in Posuk Vov, the Torah uses the same word for giving rain and giving peace. V'nosati gishmeichem. And in Posuk Vov, v'nosati shalom. Really, this is very, very difficult. Rain is something that's not up to a person. We human beings can get together and vote. Yes, we vote that there should be rain. It's not up to us. God has to give us rain. So the expression v'nosati gishmeichem makes sense. But what about living in peace? Who is it up to? Us. We sit down around the table, we decide there should be peace, so there is peace. Why is the same word that's given to rain, it's given to peace? V'nosati shalom. What do I mean v'nosati shalom? V'tichyu b'shalom. Why is that v'nosati? It's as if God gave shalom. We decide to live in peace. Right? So this is what they say. That really we are talking in a situation that we can't reach shalom. Because there are Jews who are in b'chukos ha'telechu Jews. But there is a minority that angers Hashem. And there is no peace among them. Right? This is why we need a peace that should come from heaven like rain, because we ourselves won't be able to reach it. This is why the same word that says "Venosati geshmechem," the same way that the geshem is not up to you, the shalom is also not up to you. You just do what's right, and the shalom will come from above. That's why it says, "Ose shalom bimroimov hu yase shalom oleinu," which means like this: we can't reach peace. Peace can only be given to us from above. Ose shalom bimroimov hu yase shalom oleinu. It has to come from above like rain. Why? Because we are talking a situation that naturally there is no peace in Klal Yisrael, because there is a very strong minority that fights this majority. Therefore, we need a ness of shalom, v'nosati shalom, the same way that rain is a ness, v'nosati shalom boretz, because we are not talking about a real utopian state, according to Amit Dover. We are talking about a state that the majority is good, but there is a very strong minority which isn't good. Okay? So this is why it's not in Mosa Mashiach. And this is why there is still war by other nations. Okay, what's that?
You say that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai held that the animals will be removed completely, and Rabbi Yishmael?
Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, no, they won't be removed. You won't be affected by them.
Rabbi Yehuda says no. So what's his terrace?
According to Meshech Chochmo, Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Shmuel, because he holds that the nature won't change, so there has to be something else. So the only way is to remove the animals. But if the animals are there, nature will take over, which means the animals will attack you.
The answer starts also on people learning Torah. The Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's Madrega is...